for Box Tops. The show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people, thanks to the makers of...
Roman Delta.
Tonight, Box Pop travels to the United States Marine Base at Quantico, Virginia. And here are your two Box Poppers, Clark Johnson and Warren Hull. Come in, Quantico.
Yes, folks, this is Boss Johnson.
This is Warren Hull.
It was in January of 1941 when Box Pop first came to Quantico. The United States had not come to war then, but there was lots to tell about the Marines here. There always is, you know.
You bet. One year later, 1942, we were in the war. Uncle Sam's Marines had lots more to tell. So Box Pop returned to Quantico.
And tonight, Quantico is loaded with heroes. Fighting Marines who've been over there in the thick of it.
And they didn't get all those special citations for nothing, Father.
No, sir, Warren. And so, folks, we're here at Quantico for the third time. Tonight is Box Pop's all-hero broadcast. There are thousands and thousands of heroes in the Marine Corps. Here's one whose heroic act was observed. Thousands of others, of course, as you know, fellas, are not. Though he's only 32, he's been in the Marine Corps for 15 years. It was at Guadalcanal that he lost most of his right hand and was severely wounded in the leg and the foot. Folks, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, First Sergeant Harry D'Ortona. Hi, Harry. Are you married?
No, Park. I will as soon as I get that back paper.
Oh, you mean you've got definite plans like that?
Yes, sir.
Well, I know why that back pay hasn't come. You've been moving around so fast, the records haven't caught up with you. That's it, isn't it?
Yes,
sir. And you're really serious about it.
Well, Adam, I'm glad to see it. You look like you make somebody a good husband, too.
Sergeant, what was Guadalcanal like when you were in there?
It was hell.
It was, just that, huh? You were there how long?
I was there almost a month.
Almost a month. Well, now, did you see some of our fighting planes in action while you were...
Well, I did.
Yeah?
We did.
Where?
We saw them up in the air. We couldn't observe exactly who was coming down, but every time one came down, we had a prayer in our hearts that it wouldn't be one of our own.
Uh-huh. Well, when did you find out? Or how did you find out?
We should wait, anxious wait for the evening and call in just like you do for the baseball score.
Yeah. Call in somewhere and say, look, how's it stand, huh? And the report was usually pretty good, wasn't it?
Always in our favor, sir.
Attaboy. Hey, Sergeant, was there a bunch of old-timers in your outfit?
No, Parks. They average about 19 and 20. Am I?
You must have been a... You really were one of the oldest in the bunch, wasn't you? 32?
Just about.
And, Harry, you don't look a bit over 25 to me. I don't know. Maybe you are.
Thank you.
You at all like that. All of them, I guess, wanted to get in the scrap.
Yes, Parks, and particularly one kid that I recall. I thought that he would make a good cook.
Yeah?
He says that he would be a darn good cook after he come back from that fight. Where he was going.
You mean he couldn't keep him in bounds?
No.
Was he in the fight?
He was.
Oh, boy. Was that the scrap where you got wounded?
Yes, Parks.
Where were you at that time? I don't know what part of the island or what was going on.
Well, we were driving out a bunch of Japs, crossing the Tanacal, and trying to take a hill. It's all hills out there, you know.
Yeah.
We got on top of the hill, we stopped for a breather, heard the crack of a rifle, looked down, and there's a smoking grenade.
Right near you?
Just about a few feet ahead of us.
Were there a lot of your men around you?
Quite a few of them.
And what happened? What did you do then?
There's nothing much to do but pick it up and throw.
Yeah.
When I threw, it went off.
It threw
me down the hill.
You mean it didn't knock you out, but it knocked you down the hill, huh?
Yes, sir, that's right, Park.
Well, was it pretty steep? I mean, in a gully or something?
No, it threw me off the hill and down to the embankment in a small stream.
What did you think while all that was going on?
Well, I thought I was a goner, but I looked over there and seen two dead Japs that our boys had killed, and I only wanted one thing from the good Lord, and that was not to lie with them.
Boy, we'll all agree with you on that, Harry.
I laid out there 2 days.
Oh, that's
oh,
I mean,
no.
When you got assistance.
You mean when I would get hurt?
Yeah.
I was treated immediately by a Navy colonel.
I see. And how long? You said you lay out there about 2 days? Why didn't they take you to the rear?
There is no rear out there, Park. It's all front.
You had to go forward, huh? Well, Harry, by George, that's the kind of stuff we like to hear. We know what kind of fellows the Marines are. I wish you could talk to you a whole lot more, but I can't right now. So Boma Seltzer has a couple of things that we hope you remember this program by. First, we've got a sterling silver cigarette case, and then we've got something that, anyway, we think you'll know what to do with it. It's a beautiful diamond solitaire engagement ring. Can you use it, Harry?
I sure can.
Okay, Warren. Folks, there are two men here at Quantico who have entertained millions and who are now training for protection.
And actually, we wanted them to come to our microphone to say hello, but both of them said no. They were movie actors, they said, but now they're Marines. And I'm talking about Tyrone Power and Sterling Hayden, real Marines. Let's give them a hand. Now, I'd like to read something very interesting to you. In the name of the President of the United States, the Commander, South Pacific Area and South Pacific Force, takes pleasure in presenting the Silver Star Medal to Private Jack N. Strunk, United States Marine Corps, for service as set forth in the following citation. For distinguished service in action against the enemy on Guadalcanal during the hostile attack of September 14th, 15th, 1942. Strunk voluntarily guided an ammunition truck through heavy enemy fire to a sorely pressed battalion on the front line, arriving at a very critical moment when the ammunition supply was virtually exhausted. It was due in a large measure to his conspicuous gallantry and keen foresight that the defending troops were able to successfully repel the enemy attack. His unflinching bravery was in keeping with the highest traditions of the naval service. Signed, W.F. Halsey, Admiral, U.S. Navy. Folks, we want you to know the young Marine who received that citation. He's 23 years of age, quiet, medium height, used to be a clerk for a cotton company. Doesn't look like a fighting man, but he sure is because he's a Marine. Now a sergeant. Sergeant Jack Strunk of Terre Haute, Indiana. Another hand. Jack, what's this all about? Tell us how it happened, will you?
Well, the night of the battle of the parachute and the raider battalion, we received a shortwave radio message from them that they were surrounded in the hills by the Japs, and the Japs had broken through their lines. So due to my knowing where they were, I was up there the day before, so I was the only one in our command post to know the location of the raider battalion.
And you had to go up there?
I had to go up there, yes.
What for?
To take the ammunition through the lines, then to the men who were surrounded by the Japanese.
Well, did you volunteer to do that?
Voluntarily, sir, because the Marine Corps, we can't say no.
Uh-huh.
And do not say no.
Well, so you loaded up the truck and started, huh?
We loaded up the truck and started across. And after we crossed Henderson Airfield, while firing was very heavy upon us.
Well, this was at night.
At night, yes.
Well, how in the world did you see in the pitch dark riding on the truck?
I wasn't riding on the truck, sir. I was out field on the road, guided the truck through.
You mean you were walking along the front?
Walking along the front of the truck, yes.
And they were shooting at you from all directions?
From all directions.
All right. There were foxholes around, I suppose. You almost stumbled in and everything.
Well, there were foxholes on the side of the road. And I had to guide the truck around those and touch the large bomb crater, which was at the top of the hill. We had to go around the embankment to get by that.
Well, it must have been sort of spooky walking down that road and expecting to run into some Japs every minute. Were you scared?
I was more than scared. It's something beyond that. It was like a subconscious mind. And as a matter of fact, I was hoping to run into them.
Yeah.
So I was prepared for them.
What were you carrying?
A sub-Thompson machine gun and a 45 pistol.
Well, you could do a little damage, all right, couldn't you?
Yes.
Did you find the place all right?
Yes, sir. On top of the hill, I was supposed to have taken the ammunition to the crossroads where I was supposed to have met a lieutenant to guide me on down to the raider battalion. But when I got there, he was not there, so I used a better judgment after waiting a while, then I took the ammunition on down to the men who I knew was really glad to get it.
Well, you bet they were. Well, that was a good night's work, Jack.
Thank you.
You wouldn't like to go through that again, though, huh?
Well, that's the most horrible night I ever spent in my life.
Well, I bet you, when you were there at Guadalcanal, you were glad to see the Marine aviators go into action, huh?
Yes, sir. It was a great day when they came in, Captain Smith and his plane. We'd been bombed for every day since we'd been there. So the day that they came in, we prayed that night they would come back the next day, and they did, and we got a very high score of their plane.
Went to work on them.
Went to work. I think it's 22 out of 23. That's not bad.
That's good going. Well, thank you very much, Sergeant Jack Trunk, for telling us that wonderful story. We have a couple of gifts from Box Pop and Gromel Seltzer for you. For your home that we know you're going to establish here, mahogany combination coffee table and tray. The legs fold up on it so you can use it as a serving tray and has a beautiful old English print on top. And a nest of tables with three mahogany tables, and they have glass tops. And for Mrs. Trunk, who's now teaching school out in Arkansas, we hope she's listening proudly tonight, we have a top grain cowhide fitted weekend case. Thank you very much,
thank
and
you.
Good luck to you, Sergeant Jack Trunk.
Folks, there's an old saying that you can't get too much of a good thing. So right now, let's listen to our famous Box Pop talking train. It has some darn good advice for all you folks who occasionally suffer from common sick headaches. Listen.
Fight headaches three ways.
Bromo Seltzer.
Fight headaches three ways with Bromo Seltzer. Now that's talking real sense. Well, what's the good of relieving head pain if your nerves are still jumping and your stomach's upset? Now, the sensible way to treat the three-way misery that so often accompanies common sick headache is with Bromo Seltzer. For Bromo Seltzer acts these three ways.
Bromo Seltzer brings quick relief from that pain in your head.
Bromo Seltzer quickly helps calm jumpy nerves.
And Bromo Seltzer quickly helps settle upset stomach.
So, friends, no matter what headache preparation you have been using, you owe it to yourself to try Bromo Seltzer. Use it only as directed on the label for persistent or recurring headaches. See your doctor. For common sick headaches, do as our Box Pop train says and feel better fast.
Fight headaches three ways.
Yes, sir. The next man from down at old Quantico and our old heroes' night is the man you had mentioned just a while ago. You know, all of us recall those early days at Guadalcanal when our men in the air and on the ground were doing superhuman things. This man was the commander of the first fighter squadron of Marine planes in that scrap. He's a Marine ace with 19 Jap planes to his credit. Folks, from Lexington, Oklahoma, Major John L. Smith. Major, were you a Marine flyer before this war came along?
Yes, for about 2 years.
When did you go in?
I finished aviation training in 1939.
Did you ever train here at Quantico?
Yes.
It's old home, isn't it?
Just the same as home.
That's what they call the home of the Marines here, too, isn't it? Say, Major, did you get all 19 of those planes in and around Guadalcanal?
Yes, I did, Park.
All 19 of them around there. You recall that first combat?
Yes, very, very much.
When was that?
It was the first day we got there.
Oh, the first day. Well, were there more of you or more of them, or how was it?
No, there were four of us and six of them.
Yeah, four to six, huh? Well, now, when did you get your first jab?
The first day we were there.
Oh, in that first combat, huh? Well, that's pretty fast. Did you expect to come out? Now, that was the first scrap you'd been in. You'd been training a long time for it. Did you think about coming out of it, or what were you thinking about in that first scrap?
No, at first 4 or 5 weeks, we thought it was a lot of fun, maybe a picnic.
You really did, huh? Well, as I got the reports back here, and we did in the newspapers, it was sort of a picnic in a way. Although, of course, we don't know what you fellas went through with. Did you ever fight the Japs when the odds were anywhere near even?
No, we never did.
You mean they won't fight when it's even, huh?
We just never had it that way.
Just never had it that way. Did you ever run into any of those Japs when they were stunting in the air?
Yes, several times.
Why do you reckon they do that?
I imagine because they want to show us what good fires they are.
Uh-huh. Well, we showed them, didn't we? That is, you and the boys did.
Were you ever shot out?
Yes. I had a forced landing. You might call it being shot down.
Land or sea?
On land.
All by yourself out there?
Yes.
Sergeant Strunk here, who was on just ahead of you, tells me that he was in the somewhere near where you went down. Is that right?
Well, he wasn't very near where I went down, but he was near where I came back to finish the field.
When you got out, huh? Say, Captain, did this Major, he referred to you as a captain. He
was a captain.
That's right, at that time.
Captain.
Captain Call. He's the man who wanted you grounded for 5 days so he could catch up with you.
I believe I did hear something about
him. You did. He had 16. Did you ever get grounded 5 days?
No.
No. Well,
there it is.
So do you recall that last combat of yours?
Yes, very.
What was that?
We had 8 Grummans on a escort mission. Against a small fleet of Japanese surface ships that were coming down the groove, we call it.
Was it a very peaceful mission?
Well, from our standpoint, it was to be very peaceful. We were only supposed to draw the fire of the anti-aircraft guns on the ships while the dive bombers and torpedo planes did their work.
But what happened?
Well, on the way there, we were intercepted. We like to call it intercepted by some Japanese float planes. We were able to shoot down 9 of them and join back up again over the fleet and go ahead with our mission.
Gosh, without losing step, huh?
We lost a few minutes.
Yeah, well, you did the job, and 9 of them, that's just that many more. Major, I wish we could talk to you a whole lot more. I wish we could tell you, all of us, those of us listening, what we think and how much we owe you and those men who were with you and those Marines who were on the ground in Guadalcanal. But we haven't got that much time at the moment. Ramos Elsa has a couple of things we'd like you to take along, though. First of all, it's a Ronson lighter and a service kit to keep it going no matter what situation. And here's a fighting pilot's delight. It's a super accurate Benrus Sky Chief wristwatch that was designed for pilots and navigators. 17 dual Benrus shockproof movement, non-magnetic, with a sweep second hand, and I hope you'll enjoy using it. Thank you very much, Major Smith.
Thank you. Okay, Warren, you ready? You've all heard of the country boy who went to the city and made good in a big way. Well, here's one who went to the South Seas on a little business trip, and he brought home the bacon to the tune of 26 Jap planes and a distinguished flying cross. America's top air fighter, 6 feet tall, built like a good halfback, his brown eyes, brown curly hair, clean-cut fellow. You're not embarrassed, are you? Looks just like a college football hero, even though he is 28 years old now. A young-looking guy. Take it from me, he's a good Joe. Captain Joe Foss of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You know, just a little over a year ago in January, Joe was an instructor at Pensacola, and he sat in the audience the night Vox Pop was there. Joe, you didn't think that you were going to be on Vox Pop someday, did you?
A lot of things have happened since then.
I'll say. How long were you an instructor there?
14 months.
Well, did you think sometimes you'd never get out and see some action?
I never did think I'd get out of that.
Well, you must have piled up a lot of hours instructing.
I got about 800 there.
Well, you're glad for it now?
Well, I learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I hope the students did.
Well, what are your theories about that? You kept working to perfect your flying?
Well, I always wanted to give the student such a ride that he'd feel like the old boy knew what he's doing, so I'll try and learn a little something here. So every time I went out, I tried to learn all I could, and as a result, the students thought that I knew what I was doing and learned a little faster.
That's very good. That's a pedagogue. Say, you got 26 planes, Joe. What about the fellows who didn't get any?
The boys that don't have the luck to get any planes rank higher, just as high or higher than the so-called aces. The score doesn't mean too much because there are a lot of men that work twice as hard as anyone else in the flight just to protect your neck.
Mm-hmm. And so it's really the number that the squadron gets that counts.
That's right. We want to get enemy planes. We don't care who gets them.
Well, we read in the paper one time that the whole situation out there was pretty bad, in pretty bad shape, was it?
It was a sad situation.
Some of the fellows think... Well, you're there, Charlie, huh? No, well, how... tell us how, Joe...
Oh, we were a little bit short on gasoline. In order to get some of the combat hops off, we had to drain a little gas out of the wrecked plane.
But you fellas didn't let that stop you, did you?
Oh, we figured we'd sweat anyway.
Well, I've often wondered, when you and a Jap girl are meeting head-on, 300 miles an hour, with guns blazing at each other, how do you know which way to go, up or down, or to keep them crashing into him?
You don't. Either you blast him out or you hit him.
You mean,
All the Marine flyers are like that?
I've seen all the boys take that same shot. In fact, when they run out of ammunition, I saw one chap by the name of Jack Conger try to clip a little piece off the plane and send it down, but he misjudged a little bit and took the plane in half. So they had to bail out.
he really ruined that job, huh?
Right.
Huh. Say, would you rather fight in a Grumman Wildcat or a zoo?
I'll take the Wildcat. I want to live a while.
Well, I think Mr. Jake Swerble will be glad to hear that. There is a foolish question. Are you glad to be back here in this country?
I don't look unhappy.
Well, folks, here's one reason Joe is glad to be back. She's blonde and pretty, and she went to Iowa State College where she learned to be a dietitian. Standing here very proud and very happy beside Captain Foss is Mrs. June Foss. Joe, don't get too far away here now. Mrs. Foss, you being a dietitian, now that you have him back, do you really make him eat his spinach?
Well, I haven't seen any spinach in Washington yet, but I would.
How long have you been married?
9 months.
Well, had you known each other a long time?
Well, 6 years. It's been long.
Oh, yes. How did you meet? Tell us that.
Well, we have something in common. We both play saxophones, and it was...
What? Was Joe good at it?
Well, he was all right, but he played pretty loud. That sort of attracted me.
How did you stand it all the month that he was away? Did you worry a lot?
Well, naturally, I worried, but I was a pretty busy dietitian. They're very necessary right now.
I see. Well, so that was the best thing to do, was keep very busy.
Well, that's what I had to do. This is my job.
Well, Joe has been through an awful lot of hell in the last few months. Has he changed any for you since he went away?
Well, he lost weight, and he's better looking, I think.
That's wonderful. Did he give you anything special? Did you give him anything special to take with him when he left for Guadalcanal?
Well, I gave him a washboard along with other useful things.
A washboard? Oh, you mean because the laundry was hard to do out there?
Well, it was a little miniature washboard, and I thought he might need it. He had to wash his shop.
Did you use it, Joe?
No.
No? What mementos did he bring back to you, Mrs. Foss?
A washboard and he brought back a bracelet, too. But...
You mean he brought back a washboard?
Yes,
right.
He did.
Oh,
because
that's wonderful.
They're hard to get now.
Well, look, we know that this will make Joe uncomfortable, but how does it feel to be married to a fellow who turned out to be a hero?
Well, it feels pretty wonderful, I can tell you that. But, of course, I thought he was pretty good before.
Just a minute. Joe's blushing here. No, we want to thank you for being with us tonight, and we're honored to have you on Vox Pop. And we know that all of our listeners feel just the way we do. After having known you, we're just a little prouder to be Americans. And by way of thanking you for this chat tonight, Vox Pop and Goma Seltzer have ordered sent to your home an RCA Victor combination radio and phonograph. That's the best. And we hope you like it. And for you, Mrs. Foss, a beautiful 17-jewel solid gold ladies wristwatch.
Oh.
Thank you very much, both of you. Good luck to you. And how you'll be very happy. All right, Clark.
Warren, I've got a live interview coming up, but before we sort of get into it, it's orchids. Not to you, not to me, but to our famous Vox Pop talking trainer.
Well, I'd say old Faithful deserves a round of applause.
Well, she got it from Mr. Raymond Pasnick of Buffalo, New York. Now, wait, I'll let you hear exactly what he wrote. He says, "We enjoy Vox Pop very much, and your educated Bromo Seltzer train is swell. I was especially interested in a letter that you read several weeks ago from the railroad man in Syracuse."
Well, that was a swell letter.
Yes. Well, the reason Mr. Pasnick was so interested is because he's a railroad man himself, only on the other end of the line. He helps to repair loaded box cars, and as he writes, "Like everyone else these wartime days, I'm working harder than ever, and sometimes I get pretty tired and feel a common sick headache coming on me.
But when I do feel that way, I just take a Bromo Seltzer because I know I can always depend on it to give me quick, effective relief. Bromo Seltzer is always on hand, and I've noticed that lots of other men rely on it, just as I do.
Yes, friends, Bromo Seltzer does play a vital role in wartime by helping workers everywhere to stay on the job and to do a better job. How about you? Have you tried Bromo Seltzer? Well, try it next time you get a common sick headache. You'll get effective relief and feel better fast.
Now, folks, here's an officer who wears wings, but he had a tough job of waiting on the ground while Captain Foss and all these scores of fighter planes were up in the air fighting. He was the commanding officer of all the fighter planes on Guadalcanal for quite a little while. He's a graduate of Annapolis, class of 27, lean, bronzed, and tough. A real Marine. Folks, Lieutenant Colonel S.S. Jack. Colonel, what was your command? Were they all Marine fighters?
No, roughly half of them were Army.
Oh, Army? Well, how'd they stand up as if I didn't know?
They were right in there pitching. In fact, they were such a splendid bunch, we used to call them our U.S. Army Marines.
That is a high compliment, and I know they deserved it because you know and I know what to do it. How about discipline and formality out there on the fighting front, Colonel?
We had discipline, but no formality at all.
You just don't take time out to salute when the bombs are fine, do you?
No, there's one day a young lieutenant came in the office. He said, Colonel, there's a spy on the field. I said, what, a spy? What do you mean? He said, some so-and-so saluted me.
I see what you mean, Colonel, about that. Well, how is it there on the ground when you are waiting for the fellows?
Well, it gets pretty ticklish. You want to see them come back, and most of them do.
Yeah, the boy, they really did out there. So, you're here in a hospital, but you don't look sick. Were you wounded or something?
No, I got bit by a mosquito.
Oh, just one of those. It really was tough, just as tough as we've been told out there, wasn't it? All kidding aside.
It was.
It was. Did you have a private foxhole as commanding officer, Colonel?
No, I shared my foxhole. Usually I couldn't get in there as some of the younger.
So, Colonel, you fought the Japs. Just what is your feeling toward them?
They ought to be wiped off the face of the map. They're a cancer on the face of the earth, and they need some surgery.
Atta boy. Colonel, I'd sure like to hear a lot more of that talk. Right now, Bromo Seltzer has for, not you yet, but for Mrs. Jack, because we know she likes such things, a beautiful hand-wrought solid silver antique ring set with garnet and amethyst. And for you, here's a tailor-made tropical worsted officer's uniform. Got it there, Dave? All right, and that's not all. We know how you love it. So we have here a case of your favorite root beer. How about it, Charles?
With Bromo Seltzer.
Thank you very much.
Colonel Clark, Captain Foss has something to say here. Come on in, Captain.
Colonel, you forgot your laundry up from Guadalcanal. Little washboard.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Did you do it on your own little washboard? You brought it all the way back.
Yeah, he brought it all the way back from Guadalcanal. Yes, sir, folks, we usually say, tell it to the Marines. But tonight, have told it to us.
Yes, after hearing these Marine heroes tell what they've been through, doesn't it make you draw your belt tighter and grit your teeth a little harder than ever?
You're darn right, Warren. I certainly do, and so does everyone. We're all behind our fighting men.
Well, time's up, folks. We've got to shove off now. Next Monday, we'll be at a secret naval training station on a group of islands off the Atlantic coast.
And we wish we could tell you just where, but we know that with the possibility of enemy ears listening in, you won't want us to. So we'll just say, see you next Monday. Good night, folks.
So long, everybody.
Be sure to join Vox Pop, the show that travels America, next week when Parks and Warren visit that unnamed naval base. And remember, friends, Bromo Seltzer brings you another great show, The Adventures of Ellery Queen. It's radio's most exciting mystery thriller, so be sure to listen. See your paper for time and station. Meantime, whenever you get a common sick headache, nerves on edge, stomach upset, do as our Vox Pop train says and fight headache three ways with Bromo Seltzer. You get it?
Fight headache three ways!
Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer, Bromo Seltzer.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.